Good to have all of you here. It's good. I'd rather have them fellowship. Oh, yeah. But sometimes I think that's what church's all about. Boss. Woo! I just got promoted. Did you hear that? She called me boss. Wow. I'm really good shape today. I'm Boss Bob. No, not Bossy Bob. Have all of us had a chance?
It changed from Perfect Bob.
Well, it's Perfect Boss Bob. Right, Victoria? You knew I was going to pick on you. Come on. You're not going to get away, Alex. I hope you had a chance to introduce yourself to our speakers this morning with, yes, I'm glad. Amen. Amen. See, they fit right in, don't they? Mm-hmm. This is Helen right here. You stand up and just look at everybody. She's going to be doing the speaking this morning. And Victoria is going to have her testimony, right? You got to stand up, Victoria. And this is Alex. You got to stand up, Alex. Come on, come on. There you go. Woohoo! And that's Annette over there. It's good to have me here, isn't it? Woohoo! And then we have a young lady that's unfortunately the mother, daughter-in-law. I'm sorry. You know what? It's my day, right? Normally, I don't get a chance to do the opening, but he's late today, so he called me and said I could do it. Now you're in trouble. It's good to see you. What's her name again?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. So this is Stephanie. After the service today, we're having a share meal, so... you're welcome to stay if you like. There's some people that's going to run on us, like Fran. So all the baking stuff is going to probably be missing. Well, maybe Carolyn did something, right? Nope. She's gone too. So everybody's split today. Good morning, Cynthia. bless the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for today. And Father, we're asking, Lord, that you'd bless Helen as she's speaking to us. And Father, that you'd just guide her, surround her, Father. And Lord, speak to us. Father, we want to hear things that if we can't participate, we can at least pray about it, Father. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you'd show up with your awesome Holy Spirit. Guide us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. It's on the very top. Helen's going to be doing the speaking this morning. And I want to remind you that on Monday is the women's Bible study. It starts at 6 o'clock. Normally they meet back in the kitchen. And then Wednesday at 6:30, we have the Bible study prayer meeting time here. And if you like this morning, well, how I'm picking on you, Wednesday night's about the same. So, come on. And it's good to have Chance and Dominique here this morning. God bless you two. Chance just had a broken rib, right? And Dominique, cold or? You're okay now? Oh, see there? So let's be praying for her also. The men's breakfast normally is the third Saturday of every month, but this month, November and December, we're canceling it just because of all the holidays and stuff that's going on. So, but we'll redo it on January. We'll start up again. Is that all right? We're having a Thanksgiving dinner here for those who would like to participate. There's a sign-up sheet on the table near the entryway. If you'd like to come, we'd love to have you. Okay, if you don't have plans or you're not going to be with a family, we'd love to have you come. I'll see if Dennis can serve everybody. And isn't that right? No. No. All right. And also, there's a sign-up sheet for the dinner, but also there's a women's paint class that's going to happen on the 23rd of this month. And ladies, if you'd like to participate, there's a sign-up sheet for that also. Okay? We can have, and also, just before we do the offerings, we're going to do another offering at the end here to support grant me hope, yeah. Somebody's going to have to grant me hope. I remember. I don't know why it's so hard to remember that one. I can remember Alex, Victoria, and your name is Helen, and Anna. But Annette, that's what I said, Annette, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, I'm in trouble today. Thank you for being here. I should have had you do the announcements. We're in trouble. Well, it's good to have all of you here. Let's have the ushers come forward to receive the tithes and offerings this morning.
Good morning, everybody. I think we're going to just start with a word of prayer after our praise, okay? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today so grateful and appreciative of the life that you give us and the country that we live in and the freedoms that we enjoy and the warm homes that we sleep in. And we are just so blessed, Lord, and so loved. And we just thank you and praise you for everything that you are and everything that you've done for us. And we just ask you to be with us in this service today. Guide us. Give us your vision. Give us your voice. And bless each and every one of us in your name. Amen. So my name is Helen Zierup, and I am from Hamilton. I've gone to Bentheim Reformed Church my whole life. I am married, been married quite a long time, I think 30-some-odd years. And my dad started a trucking company called Teddy's Transport when I was a kid, and my husband and I bought it in 1997. We've been very blessed, and you're going to say, now, why did she bring that up? But I will tell you why in this message. My husband and I had kind of an interesting situation a long time ago, probably about 18, 19 years ago. We had a driver that just had come to work for us. His uncle had worked for us, and he was driving his motorcycle on a weekend and got killed. And he had worked for us maybe a month, if that, and they were from Pullman. And we went down to Pullman to pay our condolences, and he was living in a mobile home. And the mobile home was in really rough shape. They had blankets over the windows, and you could see where the floor was by the bathtub, and they were all living in the living room with a space heater, and it just was bad. So our employees all gathered together, and we bought him a new mobile home and furnished it, and he had left behind a wife who had been in the foster care system and three small children, 3, 4, and 5. And we got him all set, and it was nice, and I thought she would be pretty much set for life. Probably about 6 months later, his uncle came into work and said, Helen, I got really bad news. And I said, what? And the widow had gotten a boyfriend. And the boyfriend had molested the 3-year-old extremely bad. And the little boy was in the hospital for a month. And I was very angry. So I called Van Buren DHS and I said, I would like those kids. And they said, are you related? And I said, no. And they said, are you a foster parent? And I said, no. And then they said, there is no way you're going to get those kids. And I hung up the phone and I told Craig that, and Craig looked at me and I looked at him, and we were like, you know what, we're getting our foster license, because never again are we going to be put in that position where we want to help children and we can't. So We went and got our foster license. It took about 6 months by the time we made our first phone call and by the time we actually had the license in our hand. And we started doing foster care. My goal in foster care was to help children during a really rough time. Every child that we had come in our house never knew what prayer was. They never had been in church. They had never heard the name of Jesus or God in a reverent way. Okay? What an opportunity to do foster care and minister to a child, even if it's a very short time. So we did foster care for many years and had the opportunity to adopt. I didn't go into it with the idea to adopt, but God placed that on our heart, and we ended up adopting two separate times. So we have five beautiful children. And in 2014, I was doing sales calls in Kalamazoo, and I got home early, and I thought, I'm not going to drive all the way into Holland. I'm just going to check my emails at home and work from home. And that was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And while I fire up my computer and I'm doing my emails, I thought, oh, you know what? I got to watch a video, a training video, to renew my foster license. And the training video, you got to get 10 hours of training in every year to renew your license. The training video I put in was talking about how hard it is to get older foster children adopted. And, you know, by this time, by 2014, we had been doing foster care for probably, I don't know, 9-10 years. I knew quite a bit about it. And this video comes on, and I want to back it up a little bit. Back then, I used to pray. You got to be careful what you pray for, okay? Really, you do. And I used to pray every day, Lord, if there's someone I need to help, let me see it. Because you miss opportunities being so busy to help others. You could have people with needs right next to you and you miss it. So I would always pray that. I remember it very well that morning praying that. So I stick in this video. I'm only half paying attention. A little boy comes on. He's maybe 15 and he says this. He said, my older siblings told me once I reach a certain age, I'll be unadoptable. And then he paused and he looked real sad and he said, no one should steal your hope. And that hit me so wrong. And I thought, you know what? He's right. No one should steal your hope. I thought, I better pay attention to this. So I got up from the kitchen table. I go in the living room, and I'm watching it. And it went on to say that we have 600,000 children in the foster care system in America, and over 100,000 are available for adoption. And once these kids age out at the age of 18, 25% end up homeless. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot stand homelessness. Like, to the point... like, if I was in Florida, it maybe wouldn't bother me. But in Michigan, homelessness bothers me. The winters are cold. They are bitter. And I sit in my warm bed at night, and I think, what are these homeless people doing? Right? It's so cold. Help them make it through the night. Help them find shelter. It just bothers me. So I'm thinking, we've got all these kids at 18 who have went in the foster care system through no fault of their own. Their parents have made bad choices. Their parents maybe could have died. There was nobody that could take them in. And all of a sudden at 18, they're kicked out. They have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go. No one loves them, right? Can you imagine? Just imagine if not one person in this world loved you. Where would you be today? You wouldn't be very far. You wouldn't. So these kids are homeless. The girls end up shacking up with a guy because they have nowhere to go. They've never had a mom. They don't know how to be a mom. Case in point, the very first story I told you, right? She don't know how to be a mom. So they have these kids. The kids end up back in the system because they've just never had a support system, never a loving mom or a dad to teach them how to be good parents. The boys end up in trouble. They'll steal. They'll join a gang. They'll just make bad choices. They turn to drugs because they want to numb the pain. They'll turn to alcohol. They have nothing to help them. They haven't been introduced to Jesus, right? So in order to save these kids, we need to get them adopted. And ideally, we need to get them adopted into a Christian loving home. So I'm watching this video. I was at the time on the board of Pathways MI. Pathways MI has long since merged with Arbor Circle, but they do foster care and adoption. So I called Executive Director Jeanette Hoyer, and I said to Jeanette, listen, I just found out all these kids are aging out and ending up homeless. If I can come up with the money, can you help me get these kids on TV? because California did a marketing initiative where they got the kids on TV news stations, and they had a high success of getting them adopted. So I thought, why aren't we doing that here in Michigan? So she's like, Helen, I love the idea. This was on September 11, 2014. I love the idea. Yes, I would love to help you, she said. Well, then I had met this chick at a women's networking lunch. And you know how you go around the circle and just tell a one-minute thing of what you do? And this girl had done TV commercials. So I look her up. I call her. I'm like, Barb, I just found out all these kids are ending up homeless. I want to help them. Can you help me get these kids on TV? Yeah. She said, I can. I said, you got any connections with TV stations? Yeah, Channel 8 and Channel 13. I'm like, great. So this was on a Thursday. We met the following Monday for breakfast. That was how Grant Me Hope was started, right? At this breakfast at Wooden Shoe. And she got us an appointment to meet with Channel 8 and Channel 13. And I went in and met with Channel 8 and told them my spiel. I'm like, less than 2% of these kids ever go on and get any further education. They don't have a driver's license. How are they going to get to a job? Nobody's taught them how to fill out a job application. How successful are these kids going to be? And I said, and I want you to air my kids for free. Didn't go. He wanted to sell me a $70,000 marketing package. I didn't have $7, let alone $70,000. So I walked out of there very defeated. And when we walked out, Ava Aguilar Cooper was outside. So I went marching up to her and did my spiel. She's like, well, you're just going to have to talk to the sales department. So I left there very defeated. We had to go talk to Channel 13. Well, I always watched Channel 8, so I didn't know any of the newscasters or anybody on Channel 13. So we go to Channel 13, and we're meeting with a sales rep, and we're meeting with Catherine Barron. Catherine Barron apparently is one of the newscasters, right? And I'm doing my spiel, and she's like, Helen, what do you want from us? I'm like, I want you to air my kids for free. She kind of smiled, and she looked at the sales lady sitting next to her. She's like, come on, you can go. So she walks her out the door, and she shuts the door, and she comes walking back to the table, and she's like, Helen, what you're doing is near and dear to my heart. She said, I've adopted. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. This is what I need, right? So she said, it is not typical for a TV news station to air other people's work. We typically send our own crew out. We do our own stories. So she said, I tell you what I'll do. She said, if you send me a demo, if I approve of it, I'll air it on my Tuesday morning Take 5 and Company show between 9 and 10. I'm like, okay. I looked at Barb. I said, Barb, your demo better be really good. She's like, it will be. I'm like, okay. In the meantime, we got permission from the state of Michigan to air the kids because all these kids are wards of the state. Their parental rights have been severed. They're available for adoption, okay? On the condition that we would have MARE field our phone calls, which saved me a ton of money, so I was excited. But MARE stands for Michigan Adoption Resource Exchange, and they are a marketing arm that the state contracts with to try to find these kids' homes. So Allegan DHS, Bethany Christian Services, Catholic Social Services, Samaritas, any of these agencies, if the caseworkers cannot find an adoptive home for their kids, will photo list them on MARE. These cards that I got on this desk are all children that are listed on MARE right now. We've got over 300 kids listed on MARE that we have no homes for, okay? They're available for adoption. They're free to adopt, okay? So MARE agrees to field our phone calls. We send the demo over to Channel 13. They loved it. We aired our first kid. Remember, I got the idea. God gave me the idea September 11. Our first kid aired January 6. Tell me that that is not a God thing. Moving the government that fast and getting a TV station to air your kids for free, that is a God thing, right? God is so good. He cracks me up. So that's why I say you got to be careful what you pray for, because now I'm speaking in churches and I really never considered myself a public speaker. So anyway, we air our kid. We air a kid every week. Then Catherine Barron said, I would like exclusivity. She said, I'll air your kids for free, but I don't want you going on 3, 17, 13, and 8. But she said, I'll help you get in other markets. I'm like, okay. She said, I got a contact in Detroit on an ABC affiliate, WXYZ, and I've got a contact at a CBS affiliate, channels 9 and 10, Cadillac, Traverse City, Sault Ste. Marie. She said, I used to work there. She said, I'll see if I can, you know, help you with that. I'm like, okay. So the guy that she gave me in Detroit, I would call. He'd never call me back. So finally one day I said to Catherine, I'm like, Catherine, this guy in Detroit don't call me back. She's like, let's go above his head. Let's talk to Ed Fernandez. And I'm like, okay. In the meantime, Barb, my partner in all this, it's her video crew that goes all over the state of Michigan and produces these videos, she calls me. And I'm like, yeah, I just talked to Catherine Baer, and she told me I got to talk to an Ed Fernandez at Channel 7. Eddie? I know Eddie. I'm like, how in the world do you know Eddie? Oh, I worked with him years ago at the Eddie campaigns. I didn't even know he worked there. I'll call him. So she calls Eddie. Within like 2 weeks, we've got an appointment in Detroit to meet the guy that won't call me back, two other producers, and Eddie, right? I get Eddie's business card, and on his business card says Cleveland, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Detroit, all these big towns. So I said to Eddie, after they agreed to air my children for free, I said to Eddie, what do you think about expanding? He's like, well, let's just see how we do here first. So April 19 of 2015, we aired our first kid in Detroit. We got 19 phone calls on her, 19. So this is a girl that we had no interest in, and all of a sudden we got 19 phone calls. I was giddy. If you heard the Hallelujah chorus that day from Holland, that was me. So very, very excited. Then in 2017, we landed the CBS affiliate, Cadillac Traverse City, Sault Ste. Marie. Then just recently, probably in the last year, year and a half, I was speaking at a Rotary, and I got done with the speech, and they said, do you realize that we've got a TV guy in the room? And I said, no, I didn't. But I said, we need to talk. And he was from Total Christian Television, TCT TV. I think that's Channel 54 here locally. So I met him for breakfast. And the videos that we play on Channel 13 are two-minute cuts. And TCT TV, and then the two-minute cuts has an introduction, right? So the newscaster is introducing the video. TCT is different. We need to have somebody introducing it and somebody ending it because they don't have newscasters, and they wanted 1 minute cuts. So we pay $75 more and we do a 1 minute cut, and we air them on TCT TV all over the state of Michigan. Then in 2016, this isn't just a Michigan problem, right? It's a national problem. And anything I don't do small. Ohio, I called Eddie Fernandez at WXYZ and I said, Eddie, where do you think about expanding? And he said, let's look at Ohio. I said, okay, what do you think? He's like, I'll give you the names of who you got to talk to in Cleveland and Cincinnati. I'm like, okay. So I called Cleveland, didn't bite, didn't call me back. Called Cincinnati. Within 5 minutes, the lady was like, yes, this is amazing. We would love to do this. We would love to partner with you. I'm like, sweet. So we got a TV station that agreed to air our kids for free. I thought, now I just got to find out how I get these kids on TV, right? Ohio is different. Michigan has mayor. Ohio has 88 counties ran by 85 individual agencies. So I have to talk to each individual agency. Well, the county that Cincinnati is in is either Hamilton or Montgomery. And I called this Hamilton DHS and told them what we were going to do. And they said, yeah, we have a lot of kids available for adoption, a lot. She said, we would love to partner with you. And anyway, then I talked to another county, Montgomery County, and that's in Dayton. And yeah, they had a lot of kids. And I said to him, yeah, you know, I found out that 25% of these kids end up homeless. And he said to me, no, Helen, he said, it's really, we've got 80% here in Ohio. 80% of these kids that age out at 18 are homeless. And that just makes me think that our 25% national average is really askew, because I really think it's a lot bigger than we think. When we started Grant Me Hope, we had 8 aged out foster kids living homeless behind the DNW in Holland. Did you know that? They're right here in our backyard. They're right here, and people just don't know it. So anyway, we launched into Ohio. We're airing kids on ABC and a Fox affiliate in Dayton. We're airing them in Cincinnati on an ABC affiliate, and we're airing them on TCT TV. And then the Lord put this on my heart to take it nationwide. And I've called all these states and all these states, and I've just not gotten anywhere, and it's just been weird. And we've been raising funds, and the other day I had to speak at Community Reformed Church in Zeeland. They're huge. They do 4 services. I had to speak at all 4 services. And when I got done, this girl came out, and she was, when I was a little kid, my mom and dad were youth group leaders at Bentime, and she was in their youth group. Her name's Yvonne. It used to be Essink. It's Smith now. And she's like, Helen, I had no idea you were doing this. I would love to help you. I said, Yvonne, if I could get somebody to do research to help me find who I got to talk to at each state, because it's hard at each state level to find out who you got to talk to that gives you permission to air their kids. And she said, Helen, I would love to help you. And I'm like, oh, good. And then this was kind of business related. A chick had called me and said, I just need some business advice. Could you meet me and help me? I'm kind of lost in my career. So I met her for breakfast. This was on a Monday at Wooden Shoe. This was probably about 13 weeks ago. And she's just kind of lost, doesn't know what she wants to do. She has no passion for her job. I said, have you ever thought about working for a nonprofit? And no, I never did. And by the time we got done brainstorming, I said, well, what about if you opened a thrift store? And what if we opened a thrift store? And what if we could put kids there that have aged out of the foster care system and, you know, maybe have a washer and a dryer there that they could wash their clothes and take a shower and we could give them a wage? And I'm just brainstorming all these ideas about starting a thrift store. And I got done with her lunch and I said, well, you know what, you pray about it and I'll pray about it. And if it's something that's meant to be, it'll happen. And I come back to the office and I talk to Annette and Danielle and I'm like, I got kind of a wild story. And I started telling the story and Danielle raised her hand. And I'm like, what? And she's like, I got to stop you. She said, 3 times this week I've had the same thought that we need to start a thrift store. And I'm like, wow. So then I called my board member, Anna Vandeventer, and I'm telling her about it, highly spiritual woman. And she's like, Helen, if both of you have that same thought, I think that's spirit-led. I think you need to pursue that. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. And then she calls me back. She says, by the way, I got 2 clothing racks. I was going to give them away. Should I keep them? I'm like, yeah, you better. In the meantime, this Yvonne Essink emails me and says, yeah, Helen, I got lots of questions about Grant Me Hope and what I got to look for. And I said, why don't we just meet for breakfast? So that same week, that Thursday, we go to Wooden Shoe. Wooden Shoe loves me. And we're having breakfast. And she's like, how did you get started into this? And I tell her the story. And I'm like, finally, enough about me. Tell me about you. What do you do for a living? And I thought she was a banker. But she's like, I'm a business advisor. I said, a business advisor? What kind? Well, she said, Helen, it's kind of weird. She said, my partner and I are one of 2 in the country. And she said, we advise nonprofits on how to start thrift stores. I had chills go up and down my back, and I thought, wow. I said, Yvonne, this is no mistake that you're meeting me here today. I said, it was just laid on my heart Monday, sitting at that table right there to start a thrift store. I said, this is no mistake. This is a God thing. And for the next hour, she filled me in on everything there is to know about thrift stores. It's a lot more complicated than you would think. And she said, I said, well, the following Monday I had a board meeting for Grant Me Hope. And I said, can you just give me all the information I need to fill my board in? So I did. And I gave them a proposal. And they said, well, why don't we have them do a market analysis to see where would be a good place to put one? So following Friday, I'm meeting them, and they gave me a proposal to do this study, and I said, yep, I got board permission, let's do it. And they did this feasibility study, and they found that Hudsonville would be a very good place to put one. Now, Hudsonville has done more adoptions than any community I know of. They do more international adoptions than any community I know of in the state of Michigan. They have a huge heart. And I thought, you know what? This sounds right to me. This sounds very good. So right now, we're placing a 53-foot trailer at Teddy's Transport, and we're collecting items for this thrift store that we don't have the location yet, but I'm sure God has one planned, and we hope to be opening one next year very soon. So it's just so funny how God lays things on your hearts. But it costs $80,000 to $90,000 to set up a thrift store. Did you know that? And I didn't know that, but you get your money back really after the first year. It's a big investment, but after the first year, you get your money back. And I said to Annette, I think the reason that we haven't expanded into other states is because the Lord knew we needed this cash in our bank to fund this thrift store. And I said, I think once we get that going, we're going to have the money there to fund expansion into other states. So God cracks me up. He is so amazing, and he is so faithful, and he gives us these wild ideas, and we just roll with it. So I just flap my gums wherever I go. To give you some backup story, you know, we got 3 goals at Grant Me Hope. We want to educate America about the plight of these kids. First of all, people don't know they're free to adopt, right? They don't know. In Ottawa County, there's a court cost of $325 to adopt a child, and the agency will reimburse you. So I need help educating America. Educate your neighbors, your people you go to work with, your people you visit with. Help me tell people that these kids are amazing. There's this huge misconception. I think it was an older generation thing. I know my grandma and grandpa kind of thought this, that they were juvenile delinquents. They're not juvenile delinquents. These kids are amazing kids. I got a couple of them myself. I wouldn't trade the world for them. They are amazing children. And so we just need to help educate. We need to let people know they're amazing kids. They're free to adopt. That there's 600,000 in America today, over 100,000 need homes, that 25% or more end up homeless, right? So I need your help doing that. And everybody can do that. Everybody can do something, right? Everybody can. The other goal that we have is to recruit more foster families. Every foster family that we get recruited, half of them, I found out, don't make it past the first year because we don't have enough support for them. They go into it thinking they've got a big heart and they want to help, but we don't have them prepared. So I'm asking the church to step up, that if you get a foster family in your church, that we take six adults and we literally wrap around that family and we become like six extra grandparents for that family. We pray for that family. We pray for the child. We bring them a meal maybe once a week. We bring Bobby to baseball practice. We'll babysit on a Friday night so mom and dad can have a much needed date night. We'll help them. We will help that foster family. We will wrap around them and help them be so successful that they'll never want to quit. It's a ministry. It's a ministry. We got to save these kids, right? There was a preacher in Texas. He found out that we had such a huge problem with foster care, and he went to his local agency. It'd be like walking down to Allegan County DHS and saying, how many foster kids do we have, and how many foster families do we have? And he found out that they have way more foster children than they do foster families. When we have that, and we have that here in Allegan County, the kids, if you get an intake of a child, if there is no foster family that they can bring that child to, they have to bring it to Pine Rest or Arbor Circle or Wedgwood. This kid is scared to death. He's losing the only home he knew, right? And even if his parents were bad, it was still his whole security. He just lost his whole security, and he goes to an institution where this child could be 6 years old, and you could have anywhere from an infant on up to an almost 18-year-old in these institutions, and they're scared to death. They're understaffed. They don't have enough help. They don't have meals around the table where they sit and they pray and they talk about your day. It's no semblance of a normal childhood. They don't have pets. They don't have sleepovers. They don't go to prom. It's not a normal childhood. These kids are in like a really, really nice jail. They deserve better. America's children really deserve a lot better. So we need to find more loving foster homes. The third goal then is to get kids adopted. So that's what we do. Somebody said to me, Helen, you own a trucking company. Why don't you put decals on the back of your trucks? I thought, what if I could get other trucking companies to partner with me? So I don't know if any of you are in the trucking world, but we're not friends, right? We're all competing for the same freight. We don't visit. We don't brunch, right? And I'm this loon on the phone calling all these owners of these trucking companies saying, will you meet me for breakfast? Because we got a problem with these kids and I want to save them and I need your help. And they did. And I met all these trucking company owners and I'm like, listen, we need to get these kids adopted. We need to educate America. Will you help me by putting decals on the back of your trailers? By the way, they're $18 a piece and I'm broke and I need you to buy them. And I'd like you to buy a lot of them. And they did. Grassmid Transport bought 100. Four-Way bought 100. USF Holland bought 100. Hutt Trucking bought 50. ALTL bought 50. In On Time bought 50. All these companies partnered with me. And we've got 851 decals on the back of these trucks going all over America. Okay, fine. Now we got trucks going all over America, but people in California, Tennessee, Texas do not care that I've got kids available for adoption in Michigan, Ohio. So I say to Annette, she's amazing, by the way. I say to Annette, I need you to set up our website on a national platform. I need, if anybody comes to Grant Me Hope's website, that they can find kids available for adoption in their state. And she did. And I've got a link for every, with maybe the exception of Chicago. Illinois is a little scary. But With the exception of Illinois, we've got that. So it's a, set up on a national platform. I get calls, because if you call the Grant Me Hope phone number, it rings right to my cell. I get calls from Canada, Pennsylvania, Virginia, California, Texas, England. I don't know how we did that one, but we got it. And asking about adopting kids that we've featured. How do you become a foster parent? Asking all kinds of questions. It's a wonderful thing. So thank the Lord for giving us that platform by owning a trucking company to help these kids. If you have connections with anybody that has a truck and a trailer that's going down the road, let me know. I'd love to sell them decals. They're $18 a piece. The decals say three different messages. They all go to grantmehope.org. They all say to foster and adopt, but they'll give three different messages. One says we have 600,000 children in America today in the foster care system. One says 25% of aged out foster children become homeless adults. And the other one says that it's free, basically free to adopt through the foster care system. So those are the three messages that we try to communicate. Okay, that's that. What am I missing, Annette? Let's show them a video. Let's show them a video a minute so you can get kind of an idea of what we do. We're all adopted in God's family, every one of us, each and every one of us. We need to take in these kids. We need to get them adopted. The one thing I was trying to lead to when I was talking about institutions is that, now I just lost my train of thought, and I thought of it sitting down there. Something about institutions. Yeah, I said that. I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me. People will ask me, how many kids have you gotten adopted? When I had my old contact at Mayor, we had 26 kids impacted. And then we got a new person there, and she doesn't like to give me any information, so I'm running blind. So I really don't know how many kids we've got impacted. Ohio, you know, the caseworkers are overworked too, and they're understaffed. So I hate to hound them, but I know that we've gotten kids adopted. We've got one success story out of Michigan that we were able to tape, and we got one success story out of Ohio that we were actually there for the court proceedings. And what one is this one, Michigan?
Kyron.
This is Kyron. This little guy we taped right away when we first started, and the state of Michigan said to me, he's deaf. And I remember this video so good because I said to Barb, you're going to have to put closed captioning or whatever on the bottom because I said, you can't understand him very good. And Mayor had told me that he had gotten adopted, but it had nothing to do with us. And I thought, I don't care. As long as he gets adopted, I don't care who gets credit for it. That's awesome. Last Christmas, last December, I was at Harlem Reformed Church in West Olive, and I go there about once a year and give an update. And my contact there, Lud Skolton, said, Helen, can you come back? I've got Bethany Christian Services coming in here to do a special. And I'm like, sure. And it was, I was really tired because December's just a busy month for me. But that morning, me and Alex, we headed over there, and they were showing a video that they had produced that was an hour long. And am I over on time? I'll wrap this up real quick. And the video had three couples that they chronicled that went through adoption of teenagers, two internationally and one domestically. And I'm sitting there in the audience, and this video pulls up. And they're talking about, how did you meet? And the husband and wife are talking about how they met. And all of a sudden, they said, my friend sent us a video, and we watched this video. And it pulled up this video of Alicia Smith, our newscaster in Detroit, introducing Kyron's video. And it was because of that video this boy got adopted. Why don't you show this story once?
Fishing, football, bowling, basketball, you name it. This young man loves his sports, but he also loves the idea of finding a family to share those activities with. Here's 17-year-old Kyron.
My name is Kyron. I am a 60-year-old.
Help me educate. If you got questions, call me. My business card is up here. If you want questions about adopting or doing foster care, I can fill you in on that too. And thank you so much for having me here today.
Of the idea of God just bringing an idea together and it falling into place. And that's exactly what she's probably praying for this morning, that God was poking at somebody here and saying, are you ready? We don't know. You know, it's just amazing how God works in our lives. We appreciate you, Alan. Annette, did I get it right? Yay! do you have something to say? Come on.
I just wanted to add a couple words to this. I haven't spent a lot of time talking about it, but my family actually was quite involved in the foster network. My uncle still is. My parents fostered kids that were about to age out of the system before I was born. They were married for 2 years before I was born. They quit that once they started having kids. But there's still two guys that regularly in touch with my mom and dad. One of them was living in a car, eating raw eggs when they met him. But so I just wanted to add that this is important stuff.
You get the message? This is important stuff. We need to be praying. Wow. It's amazing. Do any of you have any questions that you'd like to ask Helen or Annette? Anybody? You got any questions at all? How many of you wanted to adopt today? We got a handbag here. Really? Wow. Wow. Yeah.
This is what I forgot. If you guys are on social media, like Grant Me Hope on Facebook and share the kids' videos, because you never know who of your friends and family might be interested in adopting. Okay? When we get the thrift store set up, if you want to come and work at the thrift store, I will put you to work. If you want to volunteer, there's so many things I can put you people to work with, so just let me know, okay? Thanks.
I'm glad that Mike raised his hand. If I can get the ushers to come forward again. We're going to receive a love offering for Grant Me Hope.